got somebody here only this afternoon, like a copy of God's written word, extract from the Bible, John's Gospel. It's offered to you quite freely, no cost or obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. It's God's word, and of course, they're able to speak more clearly and powerfully than I ever could. Word of God that received the engrafted word that's able to save your soul, bring you to a knowledge of God's salvation. God sent His Son into the world to bless the world, but that blessing, salvation that is, has to be received. Received, that is, by faith in the Son of God, sent into the world to be a Savior. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word to peruse, muse upon the person of Jesus Christ, and who knows, maybe God command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of Himself to you. Like to have a copy of God's Word, please do come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hand. And so the Word of God for you here this afternoon in Hanley, taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, telling us what God is like. God that we declare to you here this afternoon. Then I called, he says, upon the name of the Lord. That's Jesus. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Grace and truth, of course. Righteousness comes by Jesus Christ. The law, the Bible tells us, came by Moses, but law, of course, that can't save a body. All that does is kill you. All that does is condemn you to the uttermost. Perhaps not unaware of God's law, His commandments, the Ten Commandments as they are known. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill, adultery, and so on and so forth. You come to God's law, you come to Mr. Moses, and all he has for you is nothing but condemnation to the uttermost. Because we're all breakers of God's law. We've not kept God's law. We've not obeyed those commandments. We cannot. Impotent, powerless, sinful natures, sinful from birth, from our mother's wombs, and so therefore unable to please God in any which way at all. So no good looking to anything that you or I could do, any doing of yours, whether it be religious or otherwise, any attempt to please God by any other means than by His grace is bound as sure to fail. It is by grace and grace alone, the Bible tells us, that we are saved. The gift of God, that is. God is gracious, the psalmist says. That is, He's full of grace. He has an attitude of grace towards sinners. Surprisingly, astonishingly, amazingly, that God could be gracious towards sinners such as you and I. Men and women, all of us, born in sin and live in sin, and hating God and hating our neighbor and living completely contrary to those commandments that I speak of. Contrary to God in every which way, in our natures, in our practice, in our thoughts or words or deeds, every which way contrary to Almighty God. And therefore, as a result of that, without His grace, under his condemnation. But of course, well, the Word of God does say that whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. There's no condemnation for them. By the grace of God, that is. But only grace, you see, only the grace, only the favor, only the free favor, the free grace, the free gift of God can bring us out of that state, that condition of condemnation. But here's the good news of the gospel, that God is gracious. He's a gracious God. That is, he is willing and determined to forgive sinners, to be gracious to them, to be the exact opposite to what they deserve. We deserve, each and every one of us, not just condemnation now in this life, in this world, but condemnation everlastingly. And of course, that will be your lot unless by the grace of God you are brought to salvation. For only a gracious God can do so. He's angry with the wicked every day, for sure. That's what he says. That's his word, not mine. But of course, that doesn't detract, that doesn't take away from the fact that he's also gracious. That is towards those, that is to the, towards those who repent of their sin, who believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can please God. That's the only way that you can obtain the favor of God. And you see, without faith, you see, the Bible says it's impossible, surely, utterly impossible to please God. That's the starting point. Unless you believe, you cannot please him. Unless you believe, you cannot receive his grace, his favor. Unless you believe, you cannot be saved. Unless you believe, that is, that he is God, Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, as he reveals himself in his word, the Bible. This is the revelation of God, what he's like, not only gracious, he's the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Father sent the Son to die upon the cross, to shed his precious divine blood upon that cross, and to bear the curse due to humanity, to bear the wrath of God upon himself, and to take away sin. Believing, my friend, believing in God, your Maker, trusting in him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if you're not pleasing him, if you're not believing in him through his Son, Jesus Christ, then you are displeasing him. The wrath of God is upon you. His anger, his fury, his rage is against you because of your sin, your iniquity, because of your very fallen, sinful, wicked, evil natures and evil hearts of unbelief. Oh, you say, I'm not wicked. You say, I'm a good person. You say, I do good. You say, I'm kind. I keep a tidy home. But you have an evil heart of unbelief. That's wicked. To not believe, my friends, is a damn worthy sin. And will damn you to all hell if you do not turn, if you do not repent and believe. And be a recipient, that is, of the grace of God. Yes, he's angry with the wicked every day. Yes, he's a God of wrath. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of justice. But he's also a gracious God and willing to forgive. There's forgiveness with God that he may be feared. That is, that he may be respected. That is, awesomely respected. And of course, well, by his grace, and only by his grace, his sovereign, his free grace, his grace that he dispenses to whosoever he pleases to do so. And how does he do it? By what I'm doing here today, by sending his servants into all the world to preach the gospel, to make the gospel known, the everlasting gospel, God's holy gospel, the means by which God reconciles sinners to himself. That's how he does it, by announcing, declaring the graciousness of God. And how is this grace manifested? Well, in sending his Son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the same word goes on to tell us this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. But there's the manifestation, there's the revelation of the graciousness of God, that he should send his Son into the world to die on a cross, that such wicked, evil-hearted, evil-loving sinners such as yourself, that you could be saved, that you could be rescued, that you could be delivered from the wrath and the anger of God that lies upon you, upon the world of humanity, upon this nation, upon this community, upon this city, this town. The wrath of God smokes against you. For the wrath of God, says the word of God, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness, the wickedness, that is, of men who hold down the truth and unrighteousness. The revelation of the wrath of God all over your nation like a rat. The ungodliness, that's what he gives you over to. When you want godlessness, he says, okay, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you godlessness, and what follows on its heels? Wickedness. Godlessness and wickedness. God gives you what you want, you see. You say, no, I don't want God. You say, no, I don't want his salvation. I don't want his Son. I don't want his forgiveness. I don't need them. So God says, okay, I'll open another door, and I'll even give you a push through that door, and I'll give you over to something else. What's that? I'll give you over, he says, to what you want. And he gives you more sin. He gives you more ungodliness. He gives you more wickedness. Until like it is presently today in your land, that the nation is just swamped, I tell you, full of such ungodliness and wickedness, lawlessness. And it's not going to get better anytime soon, unless that is, there's a turnaround. Turnaround, I hear people, they complain. Oh, they say, why? If there's a God, then why does he permit such evil, such wickedness in the land, in our society? Well, let's say that God is willing to take away the evil, the wickedness. What do you say if he begins with you? What do you say if he begins with your heart, your wickedness? How about that? No, my friends. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, none righteous, no, not one. None who does good, says God, and none who is good. But that is by the grace of God. But God is gracious, and his nature, his being, his character does not change. Still gracious now, still willing to receive you by his grace, that is, but only by his grace. Not your works, not your religion or anything else, simply and only his grace. Receive the grace, the gift of God that brings salvation. God is gracious. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. You see, it has to be on God's terms. He is righteous, and he requires righteousness. That's why he's angry with the wicked every day, because he loves righteousness, and he hates unrighteousness. He can't have anything to do with you as long as you remain unrighteous. But that's how you come into the world. That's how you live, and that's how you die. But for the grace of God coming to you and changing you, making you righteousness, righteous in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's a righteous and a holy God. He doesn't wink at sin. He can't do that. That wouldn't be a good judge. A judge who winks at sin, a judge who looks at somebody in his courtroom and says, "Oh, I like that person. I'll let him or her off." And he dismisses them. That's a judge that needs sacking. He's a bad judge. He's there to uphold justice. God is a good judge. God does not wink at sin. He doesn't brush it under the carpet. He's a righteous and holy God. But in His grace, in His mercy, you see, He forgives sinners because He has made a way by which they can be forgiven, and yet still the justice of God is upheld. The punishment must be exacted. So how is He able to justify the ungodly? By punishing His Son, sending His Son into the world to die on that cross and to take the sin of the sinner, take the wrath due to them, the curse that lies upon them, and place it upon His Son. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross, bearing the curse, the wrath of God, taking away the sins of those who trust in Him, who believe in His name. So that God, you see, the judge who always ever does that which is right, so the judge is able to forgive, to pardon the wicked sinner and dismiss him from his courtroom. Not only that, but to step down from his bench, take off his judge's garments, and embrace the sinner and welcome him or her into his family. This, in God's grace, is what He has accomplished. And it's all been done. It's all been paid in full, writ large upon the cross where Jesus Christ died. Now are the words "paid in full." The debt's been paid. The curse has been taken. The wrath of God has been endured by the Son of God, so that those in the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God might know the grace, the favor of God, as opposed, that is, to the wrath of God, the anger of God, is taken away immediately. Immediately. That moment that the sinner truly believes in Jesus, that same very moment, a pardon from God they receive. But only in the gospel, you see, the gospel's the only means. It's the only instrument. It's the only means that God has provided for sinners to be reconciled to Him. And this is why I say, not to offend or not to disrespect you, but this is why I say that your religion just won't work. You know, man instituted religion. In Islam, you have no atonement. You have no bloodshed for your sin. You have no means of being reconciled to God. Oh, they tell you that they're Allah just forgives people. God can't do that. That's a bad judge. He needs sacking. And of course, well, if you deny me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, well then I will deny you before my Father in heaven. So you deny Jesus, you deny that He's the Son of God, you say He's just a prophet. You deny Jesus, you say He's just an angel, like the Seventh-day Adventists. Then you're denying the Lord Jesus, and He will deny you before His Father. If you deny His atoning sacrifice, the suffering, the blood shed by Him, you're denying Jesus Christ, and He will deny you before God in that day when God judges you. So you see, my friends, there's only one means. God, a gracious God, has provided the means by which you can be reconciled to God, the wrath of God removed from off of you, And that means is his sending, in the immensity of his love, sending his son into the world. But again, you see, your religions, there's no love there. There's no manifestation of God's love in any one of your religions. Not an ounce of it, not at all. Nothing but hatred. Does it cure man's hatred for man? Does it take the lust out of you? No, no, there's no power there. There's no love there. There's no life there. There's nothing but death there. There's nothing but death in these religions. Muhammad came to kill and destroy. Jesus came. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He came to save by the grace of God. Out of the graciousness of the heart of God, God has provided you with the Redeemer, with the Savior. You believe on His name, you trust in Him, you love Him, and you get the favor, you get the grace of God. Because God is gracious, and He imparts grace. He imparts grace to those for whom Christ died, that is. And He protects, He's gracious, He's righteous, and He is merciful. There's mercy with God. Mercy, pity that is. But not just the pity that you and I express. You know, they're there now, everything will be okay. God's mercy, God's pity does something about the person to whom He is merciful to. He does something about their situation. In His mercy, He retrieves them from their distress, from their agony, from the death that they're in. He does something about it. Their death, their state in death, their evil, wicked hearts. He does something to retrieve them. In His mercy, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to perform that, to rescue them even from their foolishness that we encounter every single day. Here they are gathered once again, the fools and blind. Look at them. Yeah, that's your youth of today. That's your adults of tomorrow. God help you, Hanley. God help you if that's what you're raising up. Wrong heads. He came to sort out the wrong head. He came to give you reasonable, intelligent mind. Come now and let us reason together, He said. Found clothed in your right mind at the feet of Jesus. The foolishness gone. Bad head sorted. Bad heart mended. Evil hearts of unbelief, out of which comes nothing but the wickedness of evil, every perversity known to you in your present day and circumstances in your nation. That which is unnatural, men with men, women with women, sodomy, homosexuality, an abomination to God. Men becoming men, females becoming females. Insanity. To save you, God in His graciousness, in His mercy, sent His Son Jesus Christ to save you from the insanity, to get you out of the asylum, into your right mind, and into hearts that are right, opened up, operated upon by the Son of God, loosing the sin and putting His grace, love, and mercy into your hearts. By the grace of God, that is, of course, bad heads fixed, bad hearts mended, and bad records cleared. The record that stands against you and mounting up day by day, treasuring up, building up wrath for the day of God's wrath, when He judges you in righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to shed His blood on the cross that you might be washed and made clean, because you're unfit, unclean, unacceptable, alienated from God, from your best good, from your Maker. And unless by the grace of God you're saved, you remain as you are, daft, broken-hearted, and with a bad record, and ready for nothing but eternal damnation, unless God, by His grace, saves you. But then, of course, He protects. Psalmist, he goes on to say that the Lord preserves, He protects, that is, the simple, that is, the childlike, humble, childlike faith, such as the protection of God. God loves more than anything else. That humble, childlike faith that Jesus Christ Himself calls for, except you be converted, turned around, that is, turned out of your sin, turned out of your wicked hearts of unbelief, turned out of your foolishness. Unless you are converted, except you be converted, become as little children, He says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Childlike faith, you say, humble, childlike faith, simply receiving the word of God, the grace, the salvation of God. Converted, changed, converted from a sinner lost, ruined, and undone, and converted to a sinner saved by the grace of God and forgiven. Not only saved, not only forgiven, but also sovereignly protected by God, never to be lost again, nothing in heaven and earth in between, nothing that can touch or separate that childlike faith from God ever, ever again. Sovereignly protected by God. Oh, you can persecute such a person. You can even kill them. But you can't separate them from God. No, not never. That's why Jesus tells you, says to you, not to fear men. Because the worst that they can do to you is kill your body. The one you ought to fear is God, who can kill not only your body, but destroy your soul in eternal flames forever. He's the one that you ought to fear. He's the one before whom you ought to bow in childlike faith, in submission, yielding to Him, because one day He is going to kill your body. Nobody just dies. God takes them out of this world when He pleases. His time, you see, it's appointed, says the Bible. It's appointed unto man once to die. Your appointment with death, you see, is marked in God's calendar. He's got it. And when that time comes, that day, that hour, that moment comes, God will take you. You won't just die. God will take you out of this world. And then He will take you before His judgment throne. And if you have not received the grace of God, if you have not trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ, if you have not been converted to Jesus Christ, if you have not in humble childlike faith been converted, then in that day He will damn you to hell forever. He will cast you from His presence with the words, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity." So you see, my friend, you need God's protection. You need His grace. You need His mercy. You need His forgiveness. You need His salvation. You need His Son, Jesus Christ. But you need His protection too, you see, because there's an awful lot of evil in your world. You might have noticed it. Unless, of course, you're still blind. The blind, the Bible says, can't see afar off. They can't see the nose in front of their faces. They can't see that there's a God. They can't see that there's a judge. They can't see that they're morally accountable creatures. They can't see. They can't even that the flames of hell lick at your feet even now. I wonder you can't smell the sulfur, that you can't feel the heat. but it's there, it's there. The blind, they can't see, they don't get it. God has to open their eyes, first of all. Sort their heads, sort their heads. Don't even think about it. So I say, friends, the mercy of God to save you from everlasting flames. Protection, God's for the childlike faith. You see, the humble childlike faith of a sinner before a holy and righteous and mighty God. His protection orders upon them. They can't be touched. The wicked may come against them, may seek their destruction, and will do before the end comes. Will do. But God's sovereign protection's upon you. If you're a child of faith, if you're a child of God, if you're a child of Abraham, if you're one of God's, if you're one of God's children, He protects them to the uttermost. Nothing in heaven and earth and nothing in between can harm or touch them. But of course, you only become a child of God in the way of faith. Being converted, believing, humbly yielding yourself before the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who so loved the world that He came and endured that cross, endured that curse, so loved the world that He came and endured that and more, suffered more than any man ever did or ever will, for sinners, you humbly yield yourself to Him in humble childlike faith. And you get salvation. You get forgiveness. And you get the protection of Almighty God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The world can be against you. But they can't touch you, not without divine permission. Can't touch you, can't lay a finger on you without His giving them from above. God's for you, who can be against you? But let me ask you this, if God's against you, who can be for you? God's against you, you're in serious trouble. God's wrath is against you. If you're not a recipient of His grace, if you're not forgiven, if you haven't got that humble childlike faith in Jesus, in the Son of God, in His name. In His name and His name only that salvation is to be found. There's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one gets right with God but by Jesus Christ. In that name is salvation. In what's meant by that name, and what lies behind that name, and the knowledge behind that name. I don't mean that His name is just a mantra, as some Muppets, you know, perform. They think that by uttering His name over and over again, that something magically happens. There's no magic in the name of Jesus. What the name means, salvation, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the kindness, the forgiveness, the salvation, eternal life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what He has accomplished in His living, dying, rising from the dead. Salvation can be set before you this afternoon because of all that He has done. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified me freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? He's coming, and He's coming soon. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. The deliverance of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Delivered from death. Dead in trespasses and sins. That's how the Bible describes you in your natural state and condition. Dead, dead, dead. That's why I say to you, friends, that religion just doesn't cut it. Religion doesn't do the job. It's not religion you need, it's resurrection. Jesus must raise you from the dead, and nobody but God can do that. I am, he says, the resurrection and the life, the one who gives life from the dead. Only God can perform that. You do not believe that I am, says Jesus, you die in your sins. Jesus must raise you from the dead. Out of that deadness, out of your trespasses and sin, no life of God in you. Why? Jesus says you must be born again. Jesus must put his life into your soul, his love into your heart, because until he does, well, you're dead, 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 completely dead. No spiritual life in you, no awareness of God, of your sin, and of your desperate, desperate state and condition without Jesus Christ, without the Son of God, and without the power of his resurrection. But only he can raise you from the dead. I can only tell you these things. Jesus, he must raise you from the dead, deliver you from the clutches of death, and deliver you, I tell you, in the face of the certainty, the absolute certainty of physical death. Because it's appointed of God for man once to die. And that's why, you see, you cling to these lives that you've got because you haven't got another one. That's why all the fear, the manic fear, you know, masks and injections and stuff, you know. Fearful, fearful to the uttermost. Why? Because you've only got one life. And you try desperately to cling to it. You go to the gym, you do exercises, preserve this life at all costs, because you haven't got another one. But Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then, of course, spiritual death, physical death, well, then it's over, you say. That's the end of it. No. No, there's another stage. One that the undertaker doesn't tell you about, doesn't even know about today. There's another door in the grave, down into the pit of hell. Everlasting death, my friend. And unless you've tasted life, unless life has been brought to you, unless you've been delivered, unless you've been born twice, you will die twice. Born physically, reborn spiritually. Die physically, and then die everlastingly. Unless that is by the grace of God. Oh, God is gracious. Back to the beginning. Gracious is the Lord. Righteous our God is merciful. To this end, for this purpose, this reason, God sent his Son into the world, gave to the world the gift of his Son, that this might be yours. That this might be yours by the grace of God. By faith, the hand of faith stretched out and receiving the grace of God. How do you receive a gift, my friend? It's so simple. Your children know how to do that. Well, some of them anyway. They know how to receive a gift. You just stretch out the hand and you receive it. But the hand stretched out is the hand of faith, that childlike, humble faith. You receive what God sets before you, his Son, crucified, dead, buried, and raised again from the dead, that you might be delivered. Delivered from the clutches of death, from everlasting death, and given everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, but have everlasting life. The grace of God. The grace of God. Who I ask you would not want that. And it would seem the entire, it would seem the whole town of Hanley. Sadly, the days that you're living in, godless, wicked, evil-hearted unbelief, oh, if you only knew, if you only understood, if you could only grasp the immensity of the grace of God. And if you could only grasp, if you'd only understand the fearful looking for of judgment, what's coming upon this world, this godless society of yours, what's coming? You've seen nothing yet. You've seen nothing yet but what's to come. And I tell you, without faith, it ought to terrify you. Oh, he's here, you see. He's here to frighten us. No, no. You can't be saved by fear. You can only be saved by faith. I'm not here to frighten you. I'm just here to tell you the truth as it is in Jesus, as it is in the Word of God. I believe the Bible. I live out of it. I preach it. Telling you what God's Word says. That frightens you. It ought to do. But fear won't save you. Only faith, only believing, only trusting, only in the way that Jesus Christ himself has prescribed. Repent ye, he says, and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's how you enter God's kingdom. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Hanley. Repent ye, repent ye, repent ye, and believe the gospel. That's how. You repent, you believe the gospel, you get the grace, and you get the salvation of God. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? Check these things out for yourself. See, it's according to God's Word, not just my opinion. Like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply for the take. Like one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Hanley, and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying soul. Have a good day, Hanley.